ladies and gentlemen, this is the Gift of Gaming podcast post show. It's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I am joined by the D3 Invitational creator, curator, and host himself, KP. Hey, Kev, how are you?
Very well.
Your intro needs a bit of work. I'll work on it.
It's okay.
Give it a nice run.
You're polishing it off at the moment.
Today's it's brand new.
Much like Craig's polishing off that trophy. I'll get him.
Oh, man, because I'd love for one of us to win it back. No, the post show today, I kind of thought it'd be fun. Like, we're well into, coming to the end of 20. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a beginnings of talk about game of the year and stuff like that so far. So I thought it'd be nice to talk about not necessarily your game of the year of games released in 2024, mm-hmm. but kind of like this year, what would you say to yourself, man, I have loved that game.
Yeah.
It's not going to be in the contention, but what has been your game of the year in 2024?
So it's halftime game, maybe I'll call it. You know what I mean? If I'm playing a bigger game and I just need to chill. Well, it's not a very relaxing game, but myself and Tara in particular, we have been having the time of our lives playing Overcooked. And I know it's been out for a while.
No, it doesn't matter how long it's been out, man. That is such a fucking great game.
I only started playing them this year. And god damn, it is unbelievably addictive. Yeah. I cannot stop. What version did we get recently? We got the special edition.
So are you playing Overcooked or Overcooked 2?
It's just Overcooked Special Edition.
Oh, which has everything.
It's got 5 worlds so far we've gone through.
Like,
we just started from scratch.
Like,
and I picked it up on the online store for like a tenner on a sale. Yeah. And
best
probably,
10 years,
huh? like 30, 40 hours, like just an hour here and there each night. Like, it's just
awesome. And so can I
awesome.
Ask, who's the head chef?
Oh, that's a contentious point.
Because the thing I love about Overcooked, when you watch videos about people playing Overcooked, or even from my own experience playing Overcooked with like my siblings and stuff, when we would do it at Christmas and stuff, there's always someone who takes a lead, whether the rest of the kitchen want them to or not, mm-hmm. you know?
I keep an eye on the tickets. I keep an eye on what orders are coming up for sure. But mm-hmm. then in terms of delegation of workload, we try to split the whatever kitchen it is at the time.
Yeah.
We try to split it. I'll do the left, you do the right, something along those lines. So like if the chopping boards and veg or whatever happen to be on one side, whoever's on that side pretty much when the game starts, that's what you will do.
There's
but then
your operation.
Of course the game throws in a curveball with those levels where the fucking
the shit moves.
So annoying. Yeah. It's so annoying.
One of
so
the worst
good.
Ones I remember was the ice one where it has the icebergs float down the river and you have to wait. And it's fish and chips you're making the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
The moving van as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. The moving van one is great. But that's, I mean, it's such a great concept for a game. Mm. Such an easy game to put together. But the amount of fucking fun I had, it's one of those classic, like people, families, and stuff always fall out of at Christmas time. There's always a board game or whatever else that like that
the monopoly gets flipped.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it was the Overcooked for us 1 year. We got really into it. We're kind of trading. So it was me, my sister, my brother Graham, and of course Andrew's on the podcast quite regular, and Lauren was playing as well. And I took the role of head chef. You know, mm-hmm. I thought I've got some experience working in real kitchens. I know what the fuck's going on here.
Yeah.
And I said, barking out orders to the point where I was like, I wanted those 3 stars. I wanted the 3 stars.
Yeah.
And it came to a point where people were putting the controller down and looking over at me, being like, I'm not going to play this with you anymore if you say like that. Because I'd be like, put the pizza down and get on the fucking salad. Like that kind of shit. Like, you know what I mean? But I loved it, man.
When you're doing that as head chefs, all right, then, because like, so you play with 4 people. Like, have you played it with 2 or ever?
Yes, I think.
Is it the same kind of volume of orders do they make it different for...
I can't
number
say for
players.
Sure, but my impression is that I think the volume of tickets increases because generally speaking, like if you're doing, let's say that fish and chips level in the ice, it's still only fish and chips.
Yeah.
So it's more to do with the amount of stuff that you need to cook before with 4 people,
okay,
I think increases.
Okay, yeah.
But there was great levels, man. There was like, I think as well, we played at Christmas 1 year and we did the ice world because like my brother Graham, he loves doing themed things.
Mm.
And we did one Halloween, there's a haunted section you can do.
That one's so good.
That one's really good. We did that near Halloween at one point, but it's one of my favorite party games, I think, of all time.
Yeah, it's great.
Going back. And so that's kind of like you pop in a couple hours here and there.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones that like we both love because like the Switch is the kind of co-op console, you know, like we like to play it together. Like we just finished like Super Mario Wonder, for example. So we were like, we need to jump into something else. And I played Overcooked a few times and I'd been... I'd been kind of holding off on suggesting it because I was like, we don't need something to argue over. Do you know what I mean? Because like yeah. that game yeah. gets the blood off, man. Yeah, like there's few games stress me out more than when you're seeing your timer tick down and you know you're about to miss the order and I'm like, come on, where's that lettuce?
Someone's fucking chopping a tomato yeah. when they should have been chopping a chicken breast or whatever. Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, I always say have three meats on. You gotta cook the meat. Like going crazy. But yeah, like I'm addicted to it. I really am addicted to it. Tara loves it as well. It's just so good. It's
great.
The simplicity of it, but also like it is. It's complex and enough. No, like the timing. You have to be on point.
I love the ones you have to make the burritos or the tacos with a different thing. Yeah. And it was always that thing where it was so funny because I would do this thing where I get people to like you know. I'd be on the pass, whatever, making sure everything went out. Like we had the four people playing. Mm. It'd be so funny where you'd have this burrito would arrive open that might be like, it should have been pork, tomato, cheese, whatever. But it's like, someone's actually giving me one with chicken. And I remember I'd have my little fucking, I always played as the whale or the shark kind of character or whatever else. And I'd be sitting there, someone would hand me over this thing and I'd try and put it onto the pass to go out and it wouldn't go out. And I'd be like, why the fuck is this a fucking chicken? But I'd go fucking like Gordon Ramsay in his kitchen. Yeah. Like, why is this a fucking chicken that it wastes? And you have to throw that in the bin. And you're giving it a bit of waste because they go, like, you can't hold them forever. Yeah. Because you need the plates. Like, that's the thing. You have to have the plates. That part of it, man, is just, I love that stress stuff of it. It really, and like, especially playing it, I would get stressed playing it, but I love putting that on a little bit and just kind of winding everybody up while you're playing
it's
the game as
so
well.
Oh, God. It's a great game.
We need more party games. For myself, I think my obvious answer in terms of which is one of the greatest games I've ever played in my life came out this year, which is Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I would say, would you say early on now that's the favorite? I get the vibe from like following like different stuff online that
I would be surprised.
There's a couple.
I would be surprised if it didn't win it this year. Like, I mean, Astrobot
seems to
be...
Black Myth Wukong? Yeah, that seems to be right the way up there for a lot of
people.
People
are really enjoying
that,
but I don't know if that reached... the same kind of audience. I mean, there's a following now for the Final Fantasy VII fans, everything like that. But as video games go, and I won't use this for this episode because we've talked at length on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but as video games go, like, I had the storyline that I wanted. Now they've changed it compared to the original game, and I expected that, and not a mad fan of all the changes, but I'm really curious about where they're going. But like when Remake, the first part of it ended, it left it on, and everyone was online like, oh, what's going to happen? And like all that. And then we all got like, us and all the lads got really hooked on that as well. Same thing happened with this game. It was great because I got into Kev all the time over in New Zealand. We've calls about it and be like, oh my God, where it's going. And then myself and Craig did the episode with Colm and stuff like that, the review. And then... of course, Niall's playing it currently and he's right at the end of it now, so it's great to have the chats with him about it. And we've booked to go see the orchestra playing playing in Barcelona. So we're heading over to Barcelona like next March to go see it, which I'm so excited for. But as a game, it was had all this kind of stuff and all the story stuff that I really wanted to get stuck into. But the game also, A, looked amazing. B, the gameplay was so much fun and the battle system in it is the greatest battle system in any game I've ever played. So in depth and makes you look so cool, but also it was really fun. It was like at times it was like a real Yakuza game. It didn't take itself seriously at all at some points where I was sitting there like when I played that game I laughed my head off playing that game. I sat at the edge of my seat in a really intense battles playing that game and I got quite sad at sometimes playing it because I had all those and I was like, wow, it's been a long time since a game has invoked those kind of emotions in me, like since I was young. Do you know what I mean? I played that game and got excited about playing that game like I did with video games when I was really young. So for me, that's a no-brainer. But I think what's been a real surprise for me this year, and this is what I'll throw my answer in, is myself and Niall bought Space Marines.
Oh yeah,
2.
It's good.
Warhammer 40K. It's fucking great.
I heard it's amazing,
man. And it's such it's been surprising. I mean, it's so enjoyable in that it's a real shut off your brain. It's just a modern day Gears of War, essentially. But it's intense. It's great fun to do as a co-op, do you know what I mean? And I'd take the portal down to, rather than just playing us online, because it's not a local two-player, it's only online.
Okay.
So rather than us playing online, me here and him down there, I grab my portal, the PlayStation portal, and go down and rock down. And
how does it play and look?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Looks great. Like that's the thing is, and that's what's nice, a lot of people say about the portal is, it's only an LED screen, it's not even an OLED. But it's a top-end LED screen, looks fantastic. Brilliant, do you know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong, I was looking at the cutscenes on Niall's TV while I was sitting down, they've been like, yeah, that's a nice way to enjoy it, whatever.
Funnily enough, the widescreen TV is
but it's great,
more,
like, you know, when we would have had LAN parties in days gone by, I would have had to bring down my PS5, a monitor, all that kind of shit to go down with. Now I just cycle down with like a fucking you know, a Nintendo Switch which is very cool. But it's been really enjoyable. We've done, I think there's 6 main missions in the campaign. They're all about like an hour and 40 minutes long, like really good, really good shit. And then aside from that, then you do operations, which is an online, proper online thing with like other people as well. And you do kind of missions that the Space Marines would have been doing on that planet while the main characters were doing the campaign thing. And it's just, man, it's so enjoyable. And it's just like, there's executions, the classic kind of Mortal Kombat, you know, like that overly gory, all that kind of, you got a chainsword and you're wrecking people. And there's lots of times where me and Niall have looked at each other like after, like on the screen, he would have been like stabbing this big monster and I would have been pulling the claw off another and putting the claw through its neck. And we both look at each other after it's done being like, oh, this game is, I feel like a real stupid lad being like, oh yeah, yeah, blood and guts, this is great. Like, oi, oi, oi. But it's been so much fun and a real surprise for me because Niall is into the, you know, the Space Marines Warhammer 40k, the lore. It's a real grim, dark, like everything's fucking horrible. It's all war and awfulness. And he was telling me to take a look and I was like, no way, I just bought Astrobot. Like, I'm not going to get this game. And then the kind of funny games guys that I would listen to quite regularly, they did I watched them doing a review on it and they were talking about it and everyone was like, I'm so surprised at how enjoyable this is. Not my cup of tea in terms of what it's based off, but I had a blast playing it. And I was like, that sounds like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got it. And
how much was it, Emma? Because I remember all the controversy.
70 quid.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a double
A game. 109 one or whatever, 110.
So it's weird. And that was a problem with the PlayStation store. I almost had to call because I thought I'd purchase that one, but I purchased standard edition one or whatever. I think there's just a weird thing with whatever. And I would say it's a bit dubious what PlayStation are doing. I think they're putting the fucking ultra deluxe editions to the forefront for all the games, which I don't think it's appropriate. Like, no, I don't like that at all because I thought I almost bought it accidentally because it's a click and pay and then that's out of your wallet and that's it. And then the fucking,
I enabled the password so I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, because mine's just a click and pay, like, you know. But it's 70 quid, which is still expensive, but I had I don't know. Are you on PlayStation Stars? I'm saying this to everybody recently.
No.
PlayStation Stars is just a thing. If you go to the PlayStation app, there's a thing on the PlayStation app on your phone, PlayStation Stars.
Yeah.
And you just log in to challenges. And they're just like casual challenges that like, oh, log on to Astrobot this weekend or play a RPG between these dates or whatever else. And you get just points. And if you get enough points, so I just went onto this thing and I've had it for like a year and a bit now, just casually just entering challenges because you get like little digital collectibles. It's all meaningless, do you know what I mean? What I didn't realize was I had about like 6,000 points. 5,000 points converts to 20 quid in your wallet in the PlayStation store. And I didn't have to do, I was just playing video games and building points. So Space Marines only cost me 50 quid, which has meant the enjoyment I've gotten from it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is even more because I'm like, oh man, I only paid 50 quid for this and it's well worth
it. I need to look into that. Before you had heard of that, did you accidentally win any points, if you get what I mean? Like let's say you were just happened to be playing a game that was the challenge of the week, or like, do you need to be set up on it?
Some of them are, they automatically set you up for them. I think I've got, since I realized that I made like 20 quid from doing Sweet Fuck A, I've gone into the Stars thing a lot to log into all, like whatever challenges is available, even if I don't have the games.
Yeah,
I just log into everything. So while I'm casually playing, maybe I'll unlock a few bits more, do you know what I mean? And I think there was a push. I think PlayStation were trying to maybe sell Space Marines. So I spent my 5,000, got 20 quid off, then I bought Space Marines and I got a notification from my Stars being like, there's 700 points because you bought Space Marines, which was obviously one of the, not challenges, but like, buy this game and you'll get loads of points or whatever. So that's definitely clever. Check it out because it's like, it's a casual, passive way to be earning these points, and then at some point it's worth 20 quid for you, like, you know? But that would be my surprise. I was going to say Astrobot today, but I have to say, Astrobot's been a great game for me, but to have a co-op game that's been really enjoyable, Space Marines has really blown me away. Game looks amazing, plays amazing, and it's just a lot of fun. And I haven't, the games are trying too hard to be like next gen and blah, blah, blah. Astrobot and Space Marines has been a real nice thing for me to be like, these are just fun games. They don't look like the fucking the best thing in the world, but it's a lot of fucking fun. Like Overcooked, do you know what I mean?
It's a good year. It's a good year for now, because I think Helldivers 2 will be in there as well. As
So, I mean, in terms of, to have a quick thing of what's out there, supposedly IGN did a poll recently to say all listeners or, you know, viewers of IGN, what's your game of the year? And I think Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has stomped the competition.
Oh, has it really? Yeah, okay, fair.
Which, to me, I would hope it wins in that it's a big AAA game, but in terms of it's really good value, like really, really good value for money.
Yeah,
and I know that like those big RPGs aren't everybody's cup of tea. I get that, but it is a fantastic game.
Yeah,
like it deserves that spot in terms of, much like Baldur's Gate. Like it's a bit different and there's loads of effort. And like when I got the game, there's nothing wrong with it. Granted, like get a few frame rate drops, or you can definitely only play it in performance or quality mode. Like, do you know what I mean? But just a fantastic. So I'm glad there. And then I think Astrobot, Black Myth Wukong was up there as well. Helldivers was on the list. I think a good bit further down the list as well, but Helldivers in the conversation. And I'm trying to think, was there, I think what else came out this year? But yeah, I think I would be surprised, unless something else comes out between now and November, I would be very surprised Rebirth doesn't take it.
That came out early this year as well.
It was like one of the first big releases, you know. But yeah, I'd be real surprised. But great show, Overcooked. Yeah. I'd love to get back into that actually as a little party game. Yeah,
so much fun.
Yeah, listeners, if you've enjoyed our post show, let us know what your game of the year this year has been. You can email us at thegiftedgamingpodcast@gmail.com and let us know. And if you're enjoying the Patreon, tell your mates it's real cheap, and tell your mates there's loads of shit here that you can listen to. It's great. KP, thank you so much for hopping on.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.